How's everybody doing today? It's a Friday, it's the 23rd and of May. Well, this year is just has taken on a whole new way of life and being. So today is actually the first day of like a Memorial Day weekend. That word Memorial Day, memorial, is quite significant. As you all know, every day that we've been broadcasting for the last, I don't know, 20, 30 days or 40 days or so, we start off with the memorial. And we start off with many times with St. Francis of Assisi talking about life after death and about freedom. And however, this is still a very difficult time for everybody. And Memorial Day is as well for so many that have lost people during war times. And that's only in America, because war actually is a worldwide thing. I mean, liberty, I raised the Statue of Liberty, is a beautiful thing. And unfortunately, everybody would like to have liberty and live a life of peace and harmony. So today's program, we have a very revered and respected Major Colonel Jonathan Woodson from the Army Reserve talking about how patriotism and Memorial Day is different this year. And he has, you know, a wealth of knowledge and experience, and it was a big honor to speak with him. After the Major, we have Rebecca Huff. Rebecca is somebody I met just recently on the phone in the process of improving our website, which we're working on now, and changing it a bit. And I think it's going to be exciting for everybody. And she has a very positive attitude on life. She's an organic mom, and she talks about being positive. I think that's all we can say, to make yourself happier and things you can do. And today's inspiration message is going to come from a renowned gentleman who's not with us anymore, sadly. And his name was Robin Williams. And he gives some tribute from a Norman Lear play about the flag of America. So let's go to the flag of America and Robin Williams. And I think we'll be quite happy that we had a moment to reflect on the brilliance of this gentleman. He gave a lot of good happiness to our country and to many people worldwide. Boom. I Love Liberty, created by Norman Lear, presented to the people of the American way.
I'm the one that they're singing about. Yeah, I'm the Stars and Stripes Forever. Star Spangled Banner. You can call me Old Glory, but let's just keep it simple. Just call me Flag. Oh, say, can you see? Okay. Well, flag, yeah, you probably don't recognize me. Say, who is that, Evel Knievel? No way. Yeah, you see, you can't recognize me because
I'm in my birthday suit, yes!
I'm wearing the original 13 here. Yeah. I remember Miss Betsy sitting there going,
"Oh, this could be the start of something big." Whoa.
Oh, Tom, don't be a pain.
Yes. I was born June 14th, 1777. That makes me a Gemini.
Hey, Pete.
Unpredictable, crazy. Yes. I like the outdoors, and I'm the life of any party, whether it be Republican, Democrat, Independent, Socialist, anything libertarian, I'll be there. You know, I'm 204 years old. People say, Flag, how do you stay so young? Is it jogging? No. Is it tennis? No. It's waving. You know what I'm talking about? You know what we're talking about? Billowing, furrowing, and unfurrowing. Richard Simmons, eat your heart out. Yeah, but it hasn't always been easy for me, though. I had a tough puberty. Yeah, war, famine, invasion. And 1861, well, I had a little skin problem that broke out into 34 stars. But now, well, a little patience, and look what we got now. Look at this. Hold on here. Ha-ha! Ha-ha! Oh, 60! Everybody's on here. Look at this, Alaska. Yeah, we got your Tennessee. How are you doing today? Here's Vermont. You can't get there from here. Oh, and there's California.
For sure, totally.
Like I said before, you know, I had a tough time for a while. I've been in a lot of wars. They fired missiles and muskets at me, but you know, come the dawn's early light, I'm still there. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I've been made into everything from designer jeans to t-shirts, and I've even been a cape for Mick Jagger. Well, all right! The Rockets Red Glare, all right! But people haven't always been respectful to me. Sometimes it's been tough. Then when some people try and spit on me, trample me, burn me, foreigners and occasionally some Americans too, but I don't let it get me down because I'm not a stay-at-home kind of flag. You know, I've been to Europe. I've been to both North and South Pole. I was at Iwo Jima. Recently, I've even been to the moon. Everything. You see me in all sorts of different postures. When I'm like this, that means everything is okay. When I'm upside down, well, put on your Mae West and hit the deck. But when I'm like this, well, that's not my favorite position because, well, that's half-mast. I don't mean to bum you out. I didn't come here to depress you. But I gotta tell you something honestly. I haven't been getting out much lately. I guess it's not very chic to put up the flag anymore, you know? Muffin and I have a flag, but we haven't found it for very long. Hey, but look at it this way. Don't look at it as saluting me. Look at it as saluting yourselves. You know, hey, I'm just a flag, a symbol. You're the people. If I may say so from here, long may you wave.
That's a beautiful thing. So Norman Lear was in the Air Force, and I guess he wrote this with Robin, and Robin just takes off. And this is the organization that it came under. So that's a pretty powerful piece. Makes you want to cry. Okay, let's go to the colonel. This is patriotism during Memorial Day.
Hi, Paul Fackett, Good News Broadcast. I'm speaking with Major General Jonathan Woodson from the Army Reserve Medical Command, the commanding general. And we're going to talk about patriotism during a pandemic, how it'll be different, and what a big honor to get to speak to the Major General. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me on your show, Paul.
How's it going to be? Is it going to be a virtual Memorial Day?
Well, you bring up good points. You know, obviously, this is unprecedented times where there are major constraints on large gatherings, and we need to practice good social distancing to stem the tide of this COVID infection. And so Memorial Day is going to look different this year. There won't be the large parades and the large gatherings and maybe the large cookouts that people are used to. But still in all, I think it's a time when Americans, particularly at this time, because we're in this crisis together, should reflect on the service and sacrifice of those who in the past were called to defend the nation and as a result lost their lives. And that's what Memorial Day is all about. So it'll be more of a quiet reflection. I think families should particularly look at members of their family that have served and sacrificed, but remember all that have served and sacrificed from recent campaigns to the Greatest Generation and beyond.
Well, I have been since a little boy, believe that this day is probably the most important day in by far in the United States and anywhere in the world on Memorial Days, which is us, you know, there are Memorial Days everywhere in the world.
And there may be opportunities for, individuals to go out and see those small memorials in their town, observing social distancing. But, these memorials are erected all over the country and for most of the year and for perhaps many decades go unnoticed. So this is an opportunity to have a more intimate and quiet reflection on those who served and sacrificed.
This is so, and we're almost in a little bit with a pandemic. We have memorials going on as a result of just the pandemic itself, right? This is not a happy time for many people, is it?
No, it's not. But again, by reflecting on the past, we also can see how we can come through tough times and make it to a better tomorrow. So. There's opportunity in those reflections as well to see a brighter future.
Absolutely. You're an optimistic, positive guy. That's great. Let me ask you a question here. Memorial Day and Veterans Day, what is the difference?
Well, that's a great question, and it's often confused. Memorial Day is that specific holiday, last Monday in May, in which we reflect on the fallen, those who have served and sacrificed, or as Lincoln said, gave that last full measure of devotion. So it is about honoring the war dead. Veterans Day is about recognizing and honoring the service of all veterans, many of whom, of course, will be alive and you can thank in person or maybe continuing to serve. So it's about honoring those folks who have served in the military and the armed forces.
How will you observe this year, the Memorial Day, today?
Well, I think within our family, we will be reflecting on those members of our family that have served and sacrificed. I will personally be reflecting on people I served with who have also sacrificed. One person in particular, John Pryor, a surgeon from Philadelphia, who gave his life in the recent campaigns. But I think all Americans can take time to learn about the wars, the sacrifice, individuals who have given their lives. It is an important moment to remember how profound it is to be called to defend this nation and give one's life.
I agree with you. We have on our broadcast Good News Military. We've done hundreds of shows with military personnel and total lot of respect for you.
Thank you.
The Army Reserve. Tell us a little bit. What is the Army Reserve?
Well, great. That's a great question. We're some 200,000 skill-rich individuals that stand ready to answer the call when the nation needs us. Originally organized in 1908 as a medical corps to support medical support during times of war. But fast forward, you can see how important it is today. There are many, of course, skills represented in the United States Army Reserve. A good portion of those skills are medical folks who have recently been mobilized and reorganized into Urban Augmentation Medical Task Force to go through to go to communities throughout the nation to support the COVID patient care response. They've manned the FEMA field hospitals. They've embedded themselves in hospitals to support exhausted staffs when they've had surge in COVID patients. But there are also logistics folks who have been mobilized, as well as other administrative personnel that have supported the response, such as emergency preparedness liaison officers who go and help assess the needs of community and help provide the support from the Department of Defense.
I know when you hear that they've, excuse me, and it's said exactly like this, we've called out the Army Reserve. I'll be frank with you, you get a sense of, I don't know what they call it, comfort, or a sense of that this is going to be taken care of, whatever has to be taken care of. You've built a reputation that's impeccable.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I do think you're right that when there are these desperate situations and you do see men and women show up in uniform, there is that sense of confidence that we can get through this. But importantly, I think we also provide specific skills and capabilities that help support communities through the period of crisis. Of course, well, support the nations in wars as well.
So someone in the Army Reserve, is there schooling or I recollect that you have to go a certain amount of time to get into the Army Reserve. How does something become a part of the Army Reserve?
Hey, Michael.
Well, first, you need to express the interest, and I would encourage all of your listeners who might have a skill that's appropriate for the Army Reserve to do that. But you're right. You do come in, and there's the military training that you receive. We do recruit people, obviously, with special skills, such as doctors and nurses who come trained and then can support specific functional areas. But we also train a number of individuals who have not had any prior training. So we bring in young people directly out of high school, for example, and train them as medics, respiratory techs or pharmacy techs, or other areas as military police or whatever it might be. So there's an opportunity for citizens to gain skills, or citizens with skills to contribute to the fight.
So if somebody today wanted to join the Army Reserve, what would be next step for them?
So they could easily go on and Google the United States Army Reserve and identify the recruiter and who could give them information. If individuals wanted to know specifically about our current support, they can go to usar.army.mil/COVID-19 response to learn about what we've done, how we've organized and responded to the COVID crisis.
Whoa, excuse me.
And how possibly they could get involved as well, if that's just the way they felt was appropriate for them?
Yes.
That's really good. You're doing a great job, Major. Thank you. I feel security just talking with you on the phone, to be honest. Let me ask you a question. We're involved with the last question, and thank you for taking the time to speak with us. We're involved with the International Day of Peace, World Peace, and I know many of the Army people, Navy, and so on, and the other organized groups, I've asked, what is peace for them? And I remember Dwight Eisenhower saying, nobody knows peace like a soldier. What does peace mean for you?
Well, clearly peace is that aspirational state that we would hope for all humanity, where people coexist and pursue some of those basic items that are listed in our Constitution, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, where we can be mutually supportive. And that's what we've got to work toward every day. It is important to have that aspiration for the country and for the world as we go forward.
Major General Jonathan Whitson, thank you so much, and thank you for your service, and just thanks for your real good soul and heart for helping so many. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Paul.
Okay. That's the Major General. Okay. Next, I interviewed this lady, Rebecca Huff, Organic Mom, and she also was in the service, and I thought it was appropriate because she spent a bunch of years in the service. But she has a lot of wisdom, and I think we can all learn a little bit about making our life a little happier.
Hi, folks. Black is Good News Broadcast, speaking to Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing real well. I'm excited to speak with you because you're a good news person.
You
write a blog, and you're just about happiness. And tell us a little bit about yourself and how'd you get into sharing the good in the world.
Well, I am a mom of 6 children from the age 28 all the way down to 11. And I just have always had a passion for sharing information with other people, especially things that can make our lives better. And so one of the things I feel like a lot of people struggle with is unhappiness. And so as I pursued being happy, I found different ways to just, you know, kind of level up on happiness. And I thought, you know, what better way to give back to the world than to share kind of some of these strategies about maintaining our happiness with everyone else.
That's good. That's great. Well, you have some strategies? What are they?
Well, over the years, I have collected strategies from other experts, and I have implemented them into my life, and I've practiced them. And yeah, so you want me to tell you some of the things that I personally do?
Yes, yes, because I know you and I had a conversation. You're involved with a web building company that has one of those gorgeous websites and themes and so on. So, and have a nice family. I saw your pictures of the family and things. So, yeah, I want to be you.
I think you're doing a pretty good job spreading happiness yourself there, Paul. But some of the things that I personally do. One thing that has really helped me over the years is to get up in time for morning sunlight. So one of the first things I do is I spend the morning outside. Either I take my dog for a walk or I have coffee on the balcony. And if it's, you know, bad weather outside, I'll just at least open my blinds and let the natural light come inside, because I found that natural light tends to make us happier. And so that's one of the first things that I do every day without fail is I make sure that I get light. So that has helped a lot. And then another part of that that kind of goes hand in hand with the sunlight is exercise. And so whenever we get our blood pumping and we're moving our body, and especially, you know, for those of us who are able-bodied and can, you know, move around and walk, that's really important to not take that for granted. There are so many people on this earth who don't have that privilege to be able to walk. So that's something to be thankful for. And so as I'm walking every day, I just express my gratitude that I am able to do that and I enjoy the outdoors. So that's another part of it. So that is just a really good way to start off the day with kind of happiness in your favor. And so that's just part of my routine. And my routine is another part of, I feel like, practicing happiness. So when I do the same things, you know, kind of getting in a routine of practicing these, what I would call happiness hacks or happiness habits, it tends to make me feel happier. And then another really important thing, I think, Paul, is to try to avoid complaining a lot. Just try to see the happier or the more positive side, even if you're like me, a person who doesn't naturally see things optimistically. Just to practice seeing things in a more positive light, and after a while of practicing it, you will get better at it.
Good. I like the art of positive thinking. That's
yeah,
I believe a truism. I believe actually everything you just said, I agree with wholeheartedly, and even scientifically. I worked on the Brain series for PBS back in the early 80s, and we did a story about light and about as affecting winter-depressed people because, you know, the sunlight is not as intense during the winter times. And we showed, even this was early on with PET scans, and we showed how the hypothalamus would grow. The whole, your mind would grow, your body grows. But we like sun, we like light, and we like energy, right. Exercise, and also increases the blood cells interaction. So you're on to something here. I'll agree with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it is scientifically proven. And I think a couple of things that go along with that is getting a good night's sleep. And so a lot of times when people struggle to get good sleep, they tend to be a little bit depressed. And so getting practicing sleep hygiene, really good sleep hygiene habits is another thing that can contribute to our happiness. And then on a little bit more of a physical side, I think it's really important if you are a person who tends to be happy most of the time, suddenly you find yourself feeling unhappy, it's a good idea to go to the doctor and have some lab work done because a deficiency in certain nutrients can actually cause us to have depression. And one of the things that I found a lot of times with people is when they're deficient in vitamin D, which is actually a hormone, when we are deficient in vitamin D, we can become depressed. And so it's really important to make sure that we're staying on top of this. And our B vitamins are very important for happiness. And so when we get really low in these things, sometimes we can experience mild to moderate depression.
All right. I have another one thing I agree with. I think my doctor has D3. I think I take D3.
Yeah. Taking D3 with K2 is, yeah, a really good thing to do. Mm-hmm.
Is that R2, D2? You know, like Star Wars?
Yes. Taking vitamin K2 with vitamin D3 actually helps your body to absorb the vitamin D, makes it more bioavailable.
I've never seen K2. I don't know what K2 is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they actually do sell supplements, a combination of the two.
All right. I don't know much about that one. I like the word here, and I believe it's very, very powerful word, the word perspective. And I use it here. It's all about perspective, you sent me. And what do you mean by that?
Well, I think the way we tend to look at things can change how we feel about them. So Gary Rogers was someone that I had on my podcast a while back, and I asked him for a happiness hack, and what he told me, and I loved this quote, was that the pursuit of happiness is forged on the battlefields of the mind. And really, in my mind, just to boil it down to the most basic statement, is it's all about perspective. So, you know, perhaps like we were talking about the weather and rain and sunshine. So one example that I like to give people is, you know, say you wake up on the weekend and you're ready to just enjoy a weekend and you have all these plans, and then you pull back the curtains and all you see outside is just rain and gray, kind of gloomy weather. And you think, oh no, my weekend is ruined now. Oh, I'm so sad. You know, so that's kind of the perspective that you could have that would be kind of an unhappiness kind of side of it. But what if instead of seeing that rainy day with the, you know, kind of a dreary look outside, you decided, wow, this is a great opportunity for me to like snuggle up and get cozy on my couch and light a fire and grab that book I'm behind on. I've been wanting to read that book, and I'm going to make myself a cup of hot tea with a little splash of honey and just going to curl up with this blanket and just listen to the relaxing music and listen to the rain and read this book. So it's kind of a matter of how you choose to look at things. So you can choose to look at it as a lost opportunity to spend the weekend outside, perhaps. Or you can see it as an opportunity to catch up on reading, to take a little bit of rest and practice a little bit of self-care. So I think that's an easy example for people to see.
I'm going to ask you one last question, then another, just a couple of questions about the piece and so on. But so how does Rebecca do this with six kids?
I actually only have a couple left at home. Most of them have grown up and left the nest. But I think for me, my kids have kept me on my toes with practicing happiness, because the last thing that my children wanted to see was a scowl on my face. And so a lot of times as a mom, you know, my kids would look at me and they're like, you know, if I have my eyebrows, you know, furrowed, or if I have like the wrinkles between my, you know, eyebrows, they're looking at me and they're like, Mom, what's wrong? So it's just been one of the things that I've practiced over the years, is to remember, you know, my facial expression communicates a lot to my children, and they don't want to see me scowling all the time. And so I just would think about that. What if there was a mirror on their forehead and it kind of showed me what I looked like? So I think the children have actually contributed to my happiness over the years, to be honest.
I'm sure they have. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they give you a little aggravation too, but the point.
For sure. None of us are free of that. I tell you, they have definitely tried me over the years.
But the big picture is where I'm a grandpa, so I'm a lucky duck here.
That's sweet.
In that regard. So let me ask you just too, and I love to talk to you again because I really like your energy and your perspective of positive thinking, and you express it very, very kindly. So I love that. You know, we're involved with World Peace and the International Day of Peace. I created a movie also, Peace, Love, and Hope, based off of the Woodstock project that I did many years ago. And so I ask many people, and if I could ask you, what is peace for you, Rebecca?
Wow, that's a really hard question. Well, I think peace for me is just remembering that, you know, we can't control everything around us. You know, there's all of these circumstances and things that happen in life. And, you know, we could get bogged down in anxiety and stress and feelings of helplessness. You know, just these thoughts that everything around us can become so overwhelming because we can't be in control of everything. And so sometimes when we allow that to come in and kind of steal our peace, then we find ourselves feeling fear and anxiety and unhappiness. And so I think it's really important to just keep our mind focused, and, you know, to have a, you know, faith in a higher power is something that I practice. And so I think just realizing that we can't be in control of everything, and just to the things that we can control, focus on those, and the things that we're not in control of, you know, I put my trust in God to, you know, take care of those things that are out of my control. For example, I think a lot of people can get really distraught when they start trying to help the environment. I actually have a second website that's all about reducing waste and, you know, going green and being more eco-friendly. And sometimes when you research a lot of these things, of how people are using too much plastic and how the animals are dying here and there and all these trees are being cut down, it can become very overwhelming. But you have to realize that you're just one person, but when everyone together does what they can do, one person here, one person there, one person, you know, all of us, just one person, add up to a lot of people. So it's important to remember to do what you can do, but just to remember that pursuit of happiness is in your mind. You can only control what's in your little realm and what is in your mind. So I think it's just really important to focus on that, it's good to see the big picture, but sometimes when you try to take in the whole great big picture and feel like, oh, this is way too overwhelming, I'm helpless, I'm just one person. One person adds up to a lot of people when we're all working together.
I agree with you. I would say I'm men and I'm women. I always say. Thank you so much, and I thank you for. I know you were in the service there for a while too, and I want to thank you for that outreach and doing that kind of work as well. And the websites that you have are what?
My first thank you. My first website is thatorganicmom.com, and that's all about healthy living and wellness and sleep hygiene. And then my second website is kind of a community project for reducing waste. It's called Waste Free Tennessee. And you can either spell out the word Tennessee or you can use the abbreviation. Both go to the same website.
Okay. Becca, thank you so much for sharing your good news with us today.
Thank you, Paul. I enjoy talking to you so much, and I appreciate the work you do, too.
I thank you for that. Okay, have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Rebecca. That was interesting. So we heard from the Colonel of the Army Reserve about pandemic. We heard from Robin Williams on what it's like for him to be a flag, as produced by Norman Lear. And now we're going to hear from Claire Diab about breathing.
Inhale, exhale, exhale. Tongue at fire point. And inhale and exhale. Notice how you feel now. This, for a firefighter, and the sounding breath are the two most important breathing techniques you can do, because you can use these on the job. You can use them on your way to the fire. You can use them when you're in it, regulating the blood sugar levels, the blood pressure, calming yourself. That would be the sounding breath. The rhythmic breath gets you up the steps, uses less oxygen, and you'll have so much more energy. So when you do the in, out, out, for each breath, it's a step. So you would step, inhale, another step, inhale, and then another step, exhale, and another step, exhale. So it would be in, out, out, in, out, out. So go ahead and practice this in the stairs in your home or at work, because you want to practice it before, you know, getting yourself in that situation. And you'll pick it up in no time, just a few trial runs, up and down, a couple sets of steps, and you'll be fine. And you'll notice it's really incredible. So go ahead and experience it and you'll see.
Thank you, Claire. Okay, so we had a nice show today, important people. We're going to go outside for a moment just to take a breath of air and a moment of prayer for a day of Memorial Day. At 7 o'clock, we'll be back out here. I'm thinking of just doing the show at 7 o'clock from now on. We'll see. Busford's going to be doing some more major Zoom shows. May West benefit for a hospital in town. Let's take a moment here to meditate. Okay. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And I hope you're healthy and adjusting to the changes that we're all living under. I have the Harlem Globetrotters basketball. Anybody ever goes to see them, they do have a pre-show you might not know about, but they do. So I suggest if you're with family and kids, it's a great thing to do. Once again, you are loved. We're all together. A little prayer during a Memorial Day time. And this is Mother Earth. We're all in this together. Memorial Day affects the world as well as America. Love, caring, and goodwill, warm affection, devotion, and empathy. Okay, everyone, thank you very much. Anybody wants to speak to me and about anything under the sun, whatever little I can share, I'd be happy to. 212-647-1212, and I can officiate any kind of a ceremony. All right. Thank you very much. Take care.